Howard Dean will soon leave his post as the head of the Democratic National Committee. His tenure was at times controversial, such as his 50-state strategy of investing resources to state parties everywhere and not just in so-called blue states. In last Sunday's New York Times Magazine, political reporter Matt Bai wrote an article called The Other Winner, in which he wrote how Dean had unleashed new progressives in the party. WMNF spoke with Matt Bai early yesterday and asked him about the new perspective Democrats now have, or do they, about Howard Dean.
Well, to be honest with you, Mitch, I don't know how widespread the praise is or how much consensus there really is around this. I think if you went out and polled people here in Washington, polled Democrats, consultants, politicians, strategists, you would find there's still a lot of dismissiveness toward Howard Dean and a feeling that he does not deserve a lot of credit for the victory and that he has not been a very good chairman. I mean, that, I think that is the consensus among Washington Democrats. I think that they would look at Dean as sort of a stopped clock. That's, you know, the old saying about the stopped clock, it's right twice a day. And that, you know, in fact, he may have been right about some things but didn't do much to realize the result. I think that's a very uncharitable view, and that's what I've written about because, you know, I think it's hard to quantify Dean's contribution to Obama's victory, the congressional victories. I think it's hard to make a direct connection, a factual connection between the organizers he sent out to some of these states and the victories that Obama and the congressional Democrats won. And he certainly has some ugliness in his tenure as chairman, and as you point out, the situation in Florida and Michigan would qualify. But at the end of the day, I think he articulated a way forward for the party that was dismissed at the time, but that turned out, as you say, to be very prescient. The idea that you don't just abandon areas of the country, as a lot of people wanted to do, that if you show up and make a case and if conditions in the country change, you can be competitive in a lot more of the country. And I think the fact that he ran a presidential campaign in 2004 that harnessed so much of this emerging technology and that put much more of an emphasis on grassroots organizing rather than television ads really showed the way forward, sort of illuminated a path forward for the party and for Barack Obama 4 years later. So I think you can draw a direct line from what Howard Dean has done during this era of Democratic politics to what Obama has done and the success of the party.
We're speaking with Matt Bai of the New York Times Magazine. He had a piece in last Sunday's magazine on The Other Winner. Matt, you also write in your piece, you reference the emerging Democratic majority, that book that was written by John Judas and Rui Teixeira back in 2002, because there's a lot of talk now about with the Democratic House, Senate, and President, where we're going as a country. And John Judas recently wrote about this. He wrote after the election that this Democratic majority is emerging after the 08 elections. But you're not so sure about that, are you?
Well, I'll tell you, I was a skeptic of that theory when it first became very popular several years ago. And just to summarize it, the idea is that with the voting population as a whole getting more urban and more non-white and more new economy, that sort of Democrats would automatically benefit from demographic changes in the West and in the South and in ex-urban America and elsewhere, and therefore would be an emergingly strong party. And I was very skeptical of the idea that voters were sort of like drones, that just because, you know, a voter was Latino or black or a woman or worked in a new economy job, that you could just sort of count on their vote in the same percentages that you've received in the past. Now, having said that, you know, I think the last couple cycles really validate a lot of what Judas and Teixeira were saying. I am a believer now that they saw a demographic shift coming, and I give them a lot of credit for seeing that, because it has had an effect. It is having an effect on American politics, and it's having much the effect in the West, particularly in the Southwest and the Rocky Mountain West, that they foresaw. My skepticism is I think it would be a mistake to interpret that as an ideological shift in the country, to say that because of these demographic changes now people are more liberal, that they want more government, that they're strongly identified as Democrats. I think all the evidence and exit polling on this question of ideology suggests that American voters stay pretty much where they are. They're pretty centrist. The numbers of moderate versus liberal versus conservative generally stay the same, and the lowest number is actually liberal. And then, in fact, they're registering frustration with the system and with incumbency and with the culture of Washington. That is an opportunity for Democrats if they can govern effectively. It certainly means they have an opportunity to realign American politics. But I still am skeptical of the notion, and I don't think this is necessarily what Judas and Teixeira were saying, but it is what some Democrats now are saying, that demographic changes by themselves will create an enduring Democratic majority and an ideological shift in the country.
And let's talk about the youth vote. Barack Obama won it smashingly this past month. He won it by 34 points. You write in your piece that Obama's challenge won't be ideological as it will be generational. How so?
Well, you know, this is an interesting question. I've put this forth. I don't know if people buy it or not, but my sense is that if you look back even to the Clinton presidency or certainly to Democrats before that, say Jimmy Carter, for instance, the rift in the party has been relatively clear. It's been pretty much the same since FDR, and it was exacerbated in the era after civil rights in Vietnam. And that rift was really center-left. It's what we're used to talking about, right? You have some people in the South and West who wanted a more conservative Democratic Party, a more centrist party, and then a lot of people in the Northeast, the industrial Midwest, who carried sort of the flag of liberalism. And there's certainly some residual conflict there, but I think those conflicts, those ideological conflicts, are less pronounced, perhaps, than they've ever been. And the conflict now, I do think, is a little more generational, which is you have a generation of baby boomers who've been controlling the party for the last 20 or 30 years, who came into politics in the 60s, and they are very doctrinaire. They believe in democratic dogma. They believe in party politics first. They have a series of issues about which they've, you know, talked and felt very strongly for many years. And then you have a younger generation of Democrats, which I think Obama really is more in tune with, people more my age, you know, 40 and under, who really are from a generation that came of age after Watergate, that's more cynical about establishment politics in general, less pledged to institutions, less likely to be blindly loyal to a political party, and they're less doctrinaire. They actually are more interested in problem solving. They actually tend to be less about the success of the party and more about the sort of the governance and any solution that might work. And the question is how you balance those two things, right? I've compared it at times to Obama. He's sort of trying to remodel the house while his parents are living upstairs. You know, he's got to begin to take a party and modernize it, really make it more oriented toward the solutions to problems that didn't exist, frankly, 30 or 40 years ago. But he's got to deal with a generation of leaders, particularly in Congress, who are more doctrinaire and see themselves as fighting a partisan battle that has its roots going back to the 1960s.